Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We got Charles Robinson coming up later this hour at 7:30. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program today. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. A big win for the Preds last night. We kicked off the show discussing that. We will get back into that a little bit later in the program. But Preds get the win last night in an 8-round shootout against the LA Kings. So there is a win that you get there that you're feeling good about if you're the Preds. It sets up another big game tomorrow against San Jose, who also won last night. And right now, technically, is the occupant of that second wild card spot because they have played, even though they have the same amount of points as the Predators, they have played one fewer game than the Predators have played. So, with that in mind, big game tomorrow, taking up or playing against the San Jose Sharks, and another late one tomorrow night coming up as well. So, we'll get back into that a little bit later in the show. It is the Final Four coming up this weekend. Joe Rexroad is live in Indianapolis, and he will be partaking in Final Four action. Tomorrow, you've got Illinois and UConn in the early game, and then the nightcap tomorrow night will be Michigan taking on Arizona in a highly anticipated battle of number one seeds. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, which of the absolute titans of Michigan and Arizona makes it through that game. I mean, Michigan looked great, obviously, against Tennessee last time out. Arizona, I think people have been looking for this game all year long. And on the other side, you got an Illinois team that is really good offensively, and especially when they get rolling, they're as dangerous as anybody, against a UConn team that people were kind of down on heading into the tournament, but have now put themselves in an opportunity to win a third national championship in the last 4 years. So another Final Four for Dan Hurley, another Final Four for UConn. And if they can get past Illinois, you're going to find yourself back in the national championship game for the third time in the last 4 years. So really an incredible run that UConn and Dan Hurley are on right now. So we'll see what that looks like. I know everybody's going to be focused in on Michigan and Arizona coming up tomorrow night. I think Illinois-UConn's got a chance to be really fun. But I think sometimes we're probably glossing over too much. If you win this game, if you're Hurley, three national championship game appearances in the last 4 years with an opportunity to win a third title in that stretch. I mean, Joe, I don't know this answer off the top of my head. When's the last time somebody won three out of four national championships in college basketball? You may not know it off the top of your head either. I have no idea, but you are the nation's leading college basketball expert.
That's true. It's John Wooden. He's the only person who's done it. So
there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
That's pretty good company.
Coach K never did it. Dean Smith, you know, yeah. Go up and down the list. John Wooden, they won 10 of 12. And, you know, all due respect to John Wooden.
Don't get me wrong.
Well, no, I mean, you know, the tournament was, I think 16 teams for most of that. Maybe it went up to like 25. You know, and like the Final Four was basically a lock every year. Now, granted, look, you have back to back, you have, I think, 8 straight years where you have Lou Alcindor / Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then you have Bill Walton at center at a time when the game was all of the, like, so again, that's what it is. All these coaches, like, none of them do anything if they don't have great players, right? But I'm just saying, like, it was almost like, you know, back then it was like, yeah, of course UCLA's going to win it again. You know, they're going to win it all again with Bill Walton. And now, obviously, with this game with teams, like, basically different every year, if he does that, it's incredible. I don't think he will. I think he has the fourth best team here in Indy. But they also are a team that's, done some pretty crazy stuff to even get here. And sometimes teams like that have that clutch gene slash team of destiny thing going on.
Man, have you ever found Ian a bigger combo hater of John Wooden, Tom Brady, and Michael Jordan? It's unbelievable.
Dude, I am
Sports
not.
legends that Rex Rowe just discards immediately.
I am absolutely not a John Wooden hater. Now, another thing about John Wooden is, of course, his program was incredibly dirty. That's another thing people don't realize,
Here
or
we
a lot of
go.
people don't. Well, Sam Gilbert's the famous, sugar daddy for that program. And, after the fact, people were like, oh, yeah, Sam Gilbert got here giving guys cars. And, so like Bobby Knight actually went off on John Wooden at one point about how he doesn't respect him because he runs a dirty program. But hey, look. Total respect for John Wooden. I mean, come on, man.
Clearly.
I mean, the pyramid of success, all that stuff. I mean, but if you go 3 out of 4 in today's game, yes, I do. It's kind of like, it's like that's why Saban to me. And again, this is even before all the current stuff. But even in modern college football, at all, to be able to do what Saban did, that's why I think he's the greatest coach, And so if Hurley gets this done, I mean, it's a big statement, that's for sure.
What's your take on Michigan and Arizona? I know you picked Arizona to win it all before the tournament began. Obviously, a lot of people looking forward to this matchup against those two teams with 2-1 seeds and just the way they've played all year. What do you make of that game coming up tomorrow night?
Well, it's an amazing game. I mean, it is the game. And now the interesting thing about that is there's been a lot of Final Fours, and our Ralph Russo did on this, a lot of Final Fours where there was like one side is like, that's the championship game. And then that team that won that game lost the championship game, the actual championship. So it'd be a mistake to say whoever wins that wins it, because whoever wins that game is probably going to be bloodied and bruised coming out of it. I mean, talk about two big, strong, just physical, bruising teams. I went with Arizona as my champion. I'm sticking with it, but to me, that game's like a pick 'em. I don't know what's happened. I think the line flipped toward Michigan. I still think Michigan's best is the best in the sport. Like when Michigan is playing its best, I think that's the best team. But Arizona is a more consistent team. So how does that work out in one game against each other? Like Arizona, Michigan's been a lot more volatile this year than Arizona. If you go to the underlying numbers. But the matchups are, I mean, they're awesome across the board. The one guy Arizona has, Braden Burris, who I think might be the best pro. In fact, he might be the best pro of anybody at the Final Four. The freshman two guard for Arizona. That's a guy that there's not a great matchup for Michigan. They're probably going to put Roddy Gale on him a lot off the bench, but he, to me, might tilt the scales in Arizona's favor a little bit.
On the Tennessee front, we've seen them, Joe, go out and get Tyler Lundblad from Belmont, which interesting. I'm interested to see how that goes for them at Tennessee. But it looks like the Vols could be prepared to spend pretty significant money here on next season's basketball roster. What do you make of what could be in store for Rick Barnes and the Tennessee basketball program this offseason?
Yeah, and Dan Wolkin tweeted about this yesterday, and there's no doubt Tennessee has been making it clear like they are going all in on the portal. And again, they have been, but like they're getting very serious about like they know that they've got to have a huge year in the portal. They got some good young players, as a foundation. I think some good interior guys that'll be good. They've got some guys who kind of can carry the program, the continuity and all that, but you got to go get some big time talent. And they already have with Tyler Lundblad out of Belmont. So the Belmont to Tennessee pipeline is starting to really, grow here. But yeah, you're talking about really one of the best shooters in the country, and a guy who if you watch Belmont at all, like the attention he got, of course, like he was number one on the scouting report, and he still came up with the numbers that he came up with. So, yeah, if he's on a if he's on a really good team next year, and you think about a little extra space just because, like because there are other weapons for people to be concerned with. And there's a lot to figure out there, with Tennessee, right? There's a lot to do, but. He could be a really good addition for Rick Barnes.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Freddie to the program. Freddie, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, sir. Good morning. How y'all guys doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Good. Okay. I just want to say two things, man, and I can hang up and I can hear y'all. First of all, is Bosa still a free agent for one? And my second question is, Kentucky was on the other team, I think, that won three out of four national championships. I think they did in 48, 49, and 51 to SAG or UCLA. But
okay.
Guys, I appreciate y'all, Joe. Y'all take care.
Thank you, Freddie. Appreciate it. So 48, 49, 51. Would that have been Rupp, Joe?
Yeah, no, that is correct. And
What was
someone
it like to
texted it.
watch him?
Yeah, someone texted that in, so that is my fault. Yeah. And that is, of course, yeah, I guess the tournament had been a few years old there. So that was when the tournament was like, I think eight teams, but whatever. It's the national championship. So 48, 49, and 51, Adolph Rupp won it. And
And
some.
by the way, just to quickly answer Freddie's other question, yes, Joey Bosa is still a free agent.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens on that front.
He's banged up.
Mike from Pennsylvania asking, what are the odds the next North Carolina coach is coaching in the Arizona-Michigan game? Joe, your thoughts.
Well, it's actually the next topic that I have on the board. But yeah, there is, North Carolina is circling right now here at this Final Four. They are circling. And, Tommy Lloyd yesterday. So, Dusty May has kind of, he's been a little more forceful, kind of like basically like he's all but said, like, I'm staying at Michigan. And I think Dusty May's future is he's going to stay at Michigan. He's not going to take a job like that. And then at some point, he's going to go to the NBA. That's what I think is going to happen with Dusty May. But Tommy Lloyd has done the whole, I mean, I'm just focused on the task at hand, and I'm just worried about my team, and I'm just, not any sort of addressing of the possibility of going to North Carolina. And look, this is what you do, right? I mean, this is what you do when you're a candidate for a job and you might take another job. So, yes, I think absolutely. I think if North Carolina had its druthers, Tommy Lloyd is introduced as their coach next week.
Well, why would Dusty May leave? You got all that Big Ten basketball dominance that we talked about yesterday before they've won the championship. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Final Four. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Swing by John Daly's, located at 1907 Division Street in Nashville, tomorrow for a basketball watch party you don't want to miss. Brought to you by Good Boy Vodka. Enjoy $25 Good Boy Bucket specials. And 102.5 The Game will be on site from 5 to 7 p.m. with prizes and more. Don't miss it, only at John Daly's. Our NCAA men's basketball coverage on 102.5 The Game brought to you by Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Pizona MD. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter says, so you're telling me that one of these coaches didn't want to pull a Lane Kiffin and leave in the Final Four? When he has a team either with a chance to win a national championship or just go take the North Carolina job because he thinks there's a better opportunity there.
That is a great point. Tommy Lloyd, if you were really committed to championship culture at North Carolina, you'd be there right now, and then you'd be like, well, you still let me coach the team, right? Come on. That's a great, great text.
Also, another highlight of just how absolutely stupid the college football calendar is. Just, it's amazing that we've allowed
yes.
this to happen.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So by the way, I do think that Vandy fans should be rooting for Michigan Saturday. Do you
Some
know
Mark
why?
Byington, prevention. Go ahead and get Tommy Lloyd into North Carolina.
As weird as it seems, like it's kind of a weird idea, but the stuff is like so. Apparently, the word out there is like Billy Donovan, it's been reported, Billy Donovan's a candidate. And it almost reads to me like Billy Donovan is like the backup candidate, which if I'm Billy Donovan, I don't know how I'd feel about that. But I also think if I'm Billy Donovan, I'm probably about sick of coaching the Chicago Bulls. God, they suck. It's amazing. What a beautiful country this is, right?
They're bad.
Yep. So, So if Arizona wins, I think North Carolina has less of a chance of getting Tommy Lloyd. I know it's only, I know that, okay, it's like 2 more days, but also like if Tommy Lloyd wins a championship, yeah, he might leave. He might still leave, but he might not. And it maybe is that enough to tilt the scales? One, now there's extra time. Now you're locked in on you are. I mean, obviously North Carolina, if they truly want Tommy Lloyd, they are rooting like hell for Michigan so that they can get to like, let's do this. You got close. You'll win it all with us. Whatever. As opposed to then he's a couple more days. As they, I mean, look, it's there are other. It's a competitive environment out there. I mean, they're the top job, but Vanderbilt fans should want Michigan to win, and then the Lloyd thing to kind of just open up because I do think you're not too many spots from North Carolina starting to look at Mark Byington.
Yeah, I just
Like,
think, well, I just think that, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you're looking at it and you're like, what are you guys talking about? He signed a contract extension. It's like, well, I get that. So they can still come calling, right? Like in North Carolina can still come calling at that point.
yeah, I mean, it was good for Vanderbilt to do that. There are some things that like you just there again, unless you make an absurd buyout, and even then sometimes like a Carolina. I mean, I don't know. Carolina's kind of a mess right now because their administration is a mess, and they have a football coach who's going to just absolutely, he's going to fail miserably. It's going to be bad. They're going to have a huge buyout with him, all that stuff. So you would think that that would kind of strap the cash a little bit. But then again, I mean, Carolina people and their basketball team, like, you don't mess with that, right? So would they be willing to pay any buyout? Yeah, I don't know. But you can extend a coach, and the coaches still leave for other jobs. The blue blood thing, that's been a lot of the talk around the sport is like, does it really matter anymore? Does it matter that much anymore? I still think it matters. I mean, there's still like every single thing that you would want is in the program, including there's just like winning. I mean, I think, coaches have egos, right? It's like you're the coach of North Carolina, you're the coach of Duke, like that just that like that's the top of the sport. But you can see how maybe an Arizona coach doesn't leave, Michigan coach doesn't leave, but does Byington leave Vanderbilt for North Carolina? I mean, I don't know, but I mean, you have to think that that's a real strong possibility if it got to him and it got to them actually pursuing him.
Does Belichick have any like really good friends that are basketball coaches? Maybe where they end up, right? Like,
Who was the Celtics coach when he was? I don't even.
and they probably
Brad
cycled through a
Stevens.
few of them. I mean, Doc Rivers was there while he was there too, so who
Yeah,
knows?
sure. There you go. Brad Stevens. He, again, every once in a while, a job like this opens up, and it's like, by the way, we just checked, and Brad Stevens said, no thanks. But yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, Belichick's a Vandy fan too. North
That's
Nash.
true.
He's got a house in Nashville, the Vandy fan. So. I don't know what that means, but yeah, it's there's also I mean, there's some people out there. I'm seeing some people stumping for Stackhouse. I saw Draymond stumping for Stackhouse. I don't think I first of all, I think North Carolina in wisely is like, you know what, we got to stop with the we got to staying in the Dean Smith tree. You're right. They're at that point. Like so far, it's working out pretty well for Duke. With the first successor to Krzyzewski, although boy, have they blown some games. But still, I mean, I think he's been good. But North Carolina's got to go outside. And Stackhouse didn't handle everything well. I think there's some, he is a good coach in some aspects, but you have to be able to do all the things, including like handling public stuff that like he obviously was not good at.
Well, I
And
mean,
think about that. Think about that at North
that's
Carolina.
what I was going to
That's
say. I mean, that was
not,
Vanderbilt, and all due respect
yeah.
to Vanderbilt, but the scrutiny of the Vanderbilt basketball job does not really compare to the scrutiny of the North Carolina basketball job. That says, I mean, other than obviously the roots he has to the program, that just screams horrific idea, in my opinion.
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, Really, I'm just saying, there was like some agent and Draymond put it out, and it's
Yeah.
like they're trying to help him, but it's like, yeah, it's not. They'd have to be going real deep on that one. Again, the guy who succeeded Stackhouse would, to me,
I mean,
he actually could get it.
I'm surprised that Draymond's got any time for that when, the NBA players are apparently on a league-wide push to get the Grizzlies moved to Nashville. I mean, LeBron's out there talking about it, playing golf. Like, a lot of people want to see the Grizzlies out of Memphis and into Nashville.
Yeah, what was that with LeBron?
He was doing this YouTube golf thing, and he was just like, "Yeah, Memphis sucks. Let's get it to Nashville."
No. It's like, God. He was like, they got Vanderbilt. They got everything over there.
So
It's
they
like,
got
yeah.
Vanderbilt, they
Shout out
got
to Vandy.
NASCAR. Don't they have a hockey team down there too? It's like, yes, LeBron, they do. It's called the Nashville Predators. He's like, yeah, they got everything. There we go.
So why do they need an NBA team? Why do we need an NBA team, LeBron?
What are the odds?
Stick to golf, LeBron. Stick to golf.
What are the odds LeBron's ever been to Nashville? Like, I'm trying to think of why he would have come here. I'm sure maybe he has. I don't know. But I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, probably. Like, right
Would
for
have been a good
something.
follow-up question.
That would have been. Yeah. Like, did you go? What did you do? How many pedal taverns have you been on,
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson to the program from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
Every time I hear that music, it makes me think of Wall Street, and I realize that I'm 49 years old.
Wall Street, the movie?
Remember, Wall Street, the movie, Gordon Gekko, right? Greed is
That's a
good.
Talking Head song. I don't remember that was in that movie. Wow, good
Yeah,
recall.
that
Well,
was like a huge we were just talking about how Rex Rhodes saw Adolph Rupp coach live and in person. So that was a good conversation.
Listen
Oh,
to it on the
man.
radio.
That's great. Every NCAA tournament, I'm reminded of the time that when I was in college and I was covering the NCAA tournament, Jeff Karsman and I, another guy in college who was covering the tournament with us, we were sitting in those low risers in the low, near the floor, the way it used to be set up. And at one point during a game, a ball flew out of bounds and it had to be going 100 miles an hour. And Jeff and I both ducked because we thought it was going to hit us. And there was another reporter to our right who played it smooth. He didn't, he knew the angle or whatever, so he didn't even move. He didn't flinch. He didn't do anything. He continued to look straight ahead. Ball sails past him, going like 100 miles an hour, went behind his head, hits the riser behind him, bounces back, and slams into the back of his head so hard his glasses flew off and onto the floor. And I swear to God, Jeff and I laughed in his face for like 5 minutes. Like,
Who was it?
it was instant karma. I have no idea who he was, but
I
to
mean, I
this
must
day,
have
Jeff.
been like two seats down, right?
Yeah, I mean, you had to be there, but he had this wonderful comb-over swirl that he had going on, and it completely unswirled, and it was like feathering into the distance. The guy was a mess. It was great.
That's awesome. Awesome. Speaking
Swinging
of
and missing
great, let me tell you this. I don't know that I've ever been more excited in my life for this quarterback room that's about to go down in Las Vegas with Mendoza and Cousins. The fact that both of those guys are going to end up in Las Vegas, of all places, is just
Yes,
objectively
all
hilarious to
places.
me. It's just
It
awesome. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So what do you make of, number one, the dynamic in that quarterback room? And number two, what you think, like, I guess the plan is here for the Raiders? Because I guess it's conceivable that Cousins could play if they don't feel like Mendoza is ready to start with. How do you kind of view all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's look, from a personality standpoint, it's funny because they're built. Anytime you talk to anybody who's done kind of the deep dive on the pair, they're built to be so much like each other, and it's not just, I mean, a lot of people are going to draw the comparisons to, their religious faith and the fact that they're so, overt about it. But, just the game styles, their build, how they carry themselves, the way their teammates interact with them. I mean, they're very much alike in terms of their personalities and those characteristics. Which, is good. That's great for a quarterback room. And what's interesting about this was when I came out of the combine, you know, I had heard and I wrote about, I think it was like a note in a column that I did, that the Raiders were clearly looking for a veteran option to come in and potentially start the 2026 season. Somebody to give them the ability to, you know, just be patient with Fernando Mendoza, like try to, you know, build him into the offense gradually, make sure he understands the offense as well as he possibly could, and then also give him like a mentor and someone who could support, study with him every week, just kind of teach him the ins and outs of the game. And the one guy that so clearly matched that was Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I had some, you know, I had dinner with a source and met with a couple other guys. And what I was told at the time was, you know, Kirk's situation was he was going to be patient. He wanted to still start in the NFL. He didn't want to go anywhere where they weren't going to make some kind of a financial commitment to him that showed he was still earning at least a bridge level, you know, starting salary. And, you know, he was basically just going to take his time and see what unfolded. And, you know, I knew Pittsburgh was one of those teams in play. It was like, all right, let's see what Aaron Rodgers does. At the time, there were a number of openings, obviously, before free agency. And then those all closed up. And really the only one where there was an obvious starting path still available is Pittsburgh. So, you know, then the Raiders come to the table and they offer him, you know, like, hey, look, you know, you're going to make a little more than $8 million from the Falcons. We can throw a little more than 11 and we can get you to $20 million this season, which is, you know, good bridge starter money. And it also sends out the indicator that, look, you'll probably start some games. So you like, not just by happenstance, we may design to have you start the season as our starting quarterback, and we can work Fernando in slowly. And then they, you know, the way they rigged the contract was basically an $80 million balloon payment, so that Kirk knows there's no way I'm staying here. I'm back into free. If I have a decent, you know, little run here in 2026, maybe I get another opportunity at another job elsewhere in 2027, or I can pivot to TV. So it makes a lot of sense. And I think what's really interesting is just the subtext of it too, that he's not waiting for Pittsburgh, which I think his representation at this stage knows. Yeah, the Steelers are waiting on Rodgers. They want Rodgers back. They're waiting on Rodgers. That's really what the plan is in Pittsburgh. So it sort of, I think, puts in Pittsburgh into a little bit more focus and understanding what's going on there. But kudos to Kirk, because what's this, $341 million now he's got his career?
Unbelievable.
Absolutely first ballot Hall of Fame bag, you know, casher. No doubt about that. He is the bag securer of all time.
Also a big instigator of fights.
Yeah.
You do. We don't need to revisit that, but you do know that story, right, Charles? Okay. Well, no. I'm not getting into it. I told the most amazing story yesterday you just forgot it. That's okay. I have an old brain.
Wait,
too.
Are you just telling me that you got into a fight with Kirk?
No, I'm telling you that a Detroit media person got bad information and said he started a fight with football and hockey Michigan State players, and he was watching a Disney movie with his parents in the Kellogg Center. How do you not know this story?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that story.
It's a friend of ours who wrote it. And you know, I'm not going to say his name. He's been trash enough. But if I did say it right now on the air, you would howl laughing. I'll text you.
Okay. All right. Text me.
All right. But speaking of Detroit, yeah, how about the cheap-ass Lions, huh? Yeah, guy fractures his throat, right?
Yeah.
Guy fractures his throat. And, yeah, you know, my God, what a joke of an organization. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Frank Ragnow. Yeah, you know, going back for some of the signing bonus money. Rod Wood, obviously the president there, who's now been involved with, you know, clawing back Calvin Johnson signing bonus money. Now Frank Ragnow money, and then you go all the way back to Barry Sanders ownership going after, you know, some of Barry's money as well. And it's just I can't. It's hard to fathom the thought process that goes into this, but you know, Rod Wood, he's a banker basically. Like when you look at what his history is, he was running other business in the Ford organization when he's moved over into the football franchise. And this is the kind of decisions that bankers make, honestly, like just to put it bluntly, and how he's viewed. In his thought, he's like, hey, we split that signing bonus up. It got prorated over a number of years. You know, you haven't earned all of it. You have to be here for all that time. And you know, if you're not here, we get some of that prorated signing bonus back. The problem is that's not how most NFL teams look at it. Sure, there's some different schools of thought, but most NFL teams sit there and go, look, we know if we're giving you a signing bonus up front, yes, it's prorated over a number of years. Yes, technically we could come and get it later, but the way we view a signing bonus is it's your money. You're going to keep it. And really we're doing this for, you know, contract purposes, just to be able to spread it out and ease our cap, not to come back and take it from you again later. If you're basically humanly broken and, you know, can't continue as a football player, which by the way, Ragnow could have said, nah, I'm going to go ahead and let the doctors, you know, make a call on this and just say medically I'm done as a football player. And then you can't get the money back. No, instead he retires, which then puts him in the position where the team can go and claw back some money. It created sour feelings, I think, with Barry Sanders. It created sour feelings with Calvin Johnson. Now it's, you know, Frank Ragnow. You've got Quandre Diggs, you know, Alex Anzalone, Jason Kelce. You have all these guys coming out and just saying this is BS. It's Bush League. Not a good look for the organization. And it does come down to ownership, by the way, because forever the gold standard of not doing this will be Jim Irsay. When Andrew Luck retired, Jim Irsay could have taken back $24.8 million, and it would have helped their cap situation. And instead, Irsay had a meeting and said, we are not going to do that to this dude. Like, it's not his fault. His body gave way on him. This was his money. It's going to continue to be his money, and we'll deal with the cap consequences.
So, Charles, when this draft process began, when the season came to an end and we knew the Titans were picking at number four, we took a long look at all these wide receivers, right? Whether it was Carnell Tate or Mekhi Lemon or whatever. And, you know, receiver at the time, and you can make the argument still, a pretty big need for the Titans. And as time's right. gone on here, we're talking David Bailey and Jeremiah Love and all those things. And it just feels like there's not a receiver worthy of the number four overall pick from the outside looking into this draft. Oh, what's been, I guess, your sense, the information that you've gathered on the top of this receiving class, and I guess for lack of a better term, how pedestrian it seems to be?
Yeah, four would seem rich, you know, for this class. And honestly, you might have to get to like eight before it starts to not feel rich, because there are other position players who are certainly showing they are, you know, their tape and then their measurables and everything they're bringing to the table really seems to push them more into a first round type grade. You know, look, I get it. Carnell Tate, I think, is probably on most boards, he's the number one wideout just because of the combination of his productivity. He does have some size. His weight's a little low, so the weight, you know, weight to height percentile isn't where most teams would like it, but he's got really good hands. You know, he can play outside the boundary, obviously. He, you know, I think some teams are fine, you know, sliding him into the slot at times, making him a big slot just for mismatch purposes. Overall, like Tate's fine. Like, if you're like, okay, we're going to take a receiver, like, this is the one that we feel like has sort of that most complete profile. It's a little nerve wracking because Jeremiah Smith was playing alongside him, and Jeremiah Smith was clearly the number one target of most defenses, so that drew away some attention from Tate. But then when you get beyond him, you know, and Tate ran too, and he kind of got dinged for it because he ran in the, you know, the mid 4.5 range, realistically 4.5 to the mid 4.5s, and, you know, nobody likes that speed, or at least when you get to that point, because unless you're running really precise routes and you know how to get yourself open at the top of routes, it's hard to create separation. But then you get to these other receivers, and, you know, Mekhi Lemon kind of ran the same range at his own pro day, has more size issues. You know, Jordan Tyson hasn't even run a 40. He probably won't run a 40, plus has all the – he's probably the more complete package, the more explosive player, but he has a gazillion injuries, which is a huge problem. And then – what's really interesting to me is when you talk to a lot of different teams, one guy they really, really like on tape is the A&M kid, the KC Concepcion. They really, really like his speed and his burst and his ability to just get himself open just through sheer explosiveness. But he's undersized and he dropped like, I think he's at like 10, 11% drop rate last year in college, which is just, it's scary when guys drop a ball in college, just like quarterbacks who take sacks. That translates over. If you fumble a lot in college, you're going to fumble a lot in the pros. He's told teams, look, it's a focus thing for me. I can focus up and get this resolved. But Concepcion's the one. It'll be interesting to see where he goes because I think he gets mocked at the end of a lot of first rounds. But I'll tell you, in this class, there are definitely a lot of teams that like his just ability to explode. And like, if the Titans really want to take a wide receiver and there was any way on earth they could move back from four, to me, the move would be get back from four, accrue draft picks, and then if you have to take a wide receiver in the first, you know, take the guy who's got the speed where when evaluators watch the tape, they're like, yeah, that guy's getting open on the NFL level. We just got to make sure he catches it.
That's interesting. I like him. I don't like him as much as Mekhi Lemon, but he is definitely
Lemon, here's the thing. I'm with you there because I love Lemon. I love his hands, and I love how he competes. I guess apparently just the separation is a little bit of an issue. Like there's some thought that he doesn't get as much separation as you would like, you know, on his tape. I have not watched tape on him. I always thought that guy seems to get open a lot to me. he's super productive. So I really liked him. I thought there was a chance he would fight for the first, you know, wide out in the draft. And, but it's a mixed bag. I really think it's like, what do you run? What's your system? And, you know, what variables are brought to the table. The interviews are going to be important. All these different things that'll ultimately shake out the class. I would not be surprised, by the way, if we get to draft day and the order, maybe other than Tate, maybe the order is a little wonky and unexpected.
Speaking of receivers, it just keeps getting worse. I guess it's just a weekly thing now. We talk about Puka Nacua, but how rough is this situation right now for him and the Rams?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously he's got this, you know, he's got a lawsuit about the, you know, the biting incident and the allegations of him, you know, the anti-Semitic remarks. And we go back and there was the whole Aiden Ross thing and, you know, the gestures that he, you know, made on video, and the Rams were super pissed about that. Like especially, you know, comes out around the Super Bowl, it's very high profile. And I, you know, when we talked about it in the past, you know, I told you guys, I said on the show, like, for everything that's being reported, there's a lot there that is not being reported, you know, and for everybody to always consider that. What you're seeing and hearing, that's one thing, but then there's always other things under the surface. Well, so what I'm alluding to is kind of what now we're seeing with this, you know, a lawyer coming out and saying that he's checked himself into like this holistic treatment you know, center, which that's the lawyer's statement, right? I mean, the lawyer can make whatever statement he wants. I think it's interesting, you know, some teams have kind of paid attention to his social media and they're like, oh, well, he seems to be pointing out like workout videos from Westlake. Like, is that part of a holistic treatment center? He's lifting weights, or is it outpatient, or like, how does this work? There's just a lot of growing up that he needs to do. And I think Sean McVay kind of conveyed that at the owners' meetings, that there's an element of immaturity with him and maybe some people around him that he's now got to really think about. And it's going to come into focus for him fast because, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba signs, you know, a massive, you know, when you start to get into the mid $40 million a year range for wide receivers, that's the deal that Puka Nacua should sign. That's the extension he should sign. But the second Smith and Jigba signed that deal, I cannot tell you how many people I was texting with in the league who were like, I don't know if you could give him that deal if you're the Rams. I don't know if you can give him any deal. Like, you may have to just, you know, apply the franchise tag as long as you can and then figure out at that point if it's best to just kind of move on or not, or if somebody comes to the table and offers you a ton for him. Watch the Rams in terms of that first-round pick. If they pick a receiver, I will be really, really interesting, really, really interested if that's the Rams backstopping themselves a little bit, just saying, let's give ourselves some options just in case, you know, this doesn't straighten itself out in 2026.
I guess it's a good thing they didn't trade Davante Adams too, huh?
Yeah, and that, you know, look, the Adams thing, I don't think – don't know why they're not being more clear about this, but that the Adams thing was really predicated on if they were going to end up with A.J. Brown. Like, they weren't going to end up with A.J. Brown and Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. So I think, you know, when they realized what it was going to cost to go get A.J. Brown, I think that kind of tamped down this idea that they could trade Davante Adams. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously it would have been bad if they would have told Davante Adams, oh, we can't get A.J. Brown either. He's way too expensive. So we're definitely drafting one of these kind of misfit toys wide receivers in the middle of the first round.
So, Charles, I guess Seattle is up next for Hard Knocks, and then it's the Vrabster coming up in 2027. Yeah. What do you make of those two all-access shows that are going to be put together? I'm excited about Vrabel. We just got to wait a year for it.
Yeah, how about the double feature? It's interesting that the league comes out and they're like, we're going to announce 2 years' worth of it. And, you know, it was actually Adam Schefter did a great job describing how this goes down, which I think it's great that he was the one who finally put it out there. Every time teams get, I mean, it's like playbook 101. When teams get approached by the league, it's their response is always, let's kick the can down the road. Like, we don't want to commit now, but, you know, okay, how about, you know, the year after this one? You know, like, let's give us a year, a gap year to prepare for it. And I think the league got tired of that, and they, you know, became complicated running around with everybody wanting to do it 2 years out. So the league basically decided, all right, well, we'll let a team lock themselves into that second year. And then when teams just, you know, if we go to the next team and they say, well, we'll do it 2 years from now, so, no, we already got we got that locked up. 2027 is taken care of. Like, you can't get into 2027, and don't dare you ask us for 2028. So, you know, we really need you to do this now. So that's ultimately what happened, was the Patriots locked themselves into 2027, and then, you know, the Seahawks, that option's off the table. So the Seahawks are there for 2026. But the tandem to me is interesting because we don't know what if there's a backslide in New England in 2026 because of the schedule, right? They had all the success. Granted, they had the run in the playoffs. But 2026 is the stamp it year. It's like, you have to show us this is who you are truly and consistently. And what if that doesn't happen? Like, what if they hit an iceberg in 2026? The next thing you know, they're the Commanders.
Ornery Vrabel, that's good TV.
Then, yeah, that's exactly right. That is 100. Now you're entering 2027 and you have a pissed off Mike Vrabel. Like, okay, so that's great, potentially great TV. So I thought the double feature was really interesting, but just the fact that the Patriots are 2 years out is going to make it really, really interesting to see if they can, you know, live up to last season and then, you know, go into Hard Knocks on the right foot.
I'm excited to see it. Excited to see it. Charles, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate it again. You taking time to be with us this week. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
I appreciate it, gents. And Joe, if you have a ball that flies behind your head, duck and don't be smug about it, because that thing's coming back with your name on it, right in the back of your head.
I'm sure I'll be like 2 miles away from the court anyway. I sent you a text. I sent you a text. So now I hope this refreshes your memory.
Okay, let me look real quick.
Yeah, it'll take a while. Just get back to us. We can reconvene next week.
Oh, no, I just saw.
Good times. Oh, no. Okay.
2008, baby.
Yeah. I want to go ahead and sign off at this point.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Charles Robinson with us every week on the program. He'll be back with us Thursday at 8 o'clock. Teron Davenport coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.